Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of Cliff Lambert. First I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Clifford Lambert was born on January 22, 1934, in the state of Missouri. He went by the name Cliff. He moved to New York City in the 1960s to pursue an acting career, but ultimately became an art dealer. Cliff made copies of famous artwork and sold them through mail order. A few years later, Cliff moved to Los Angeles, California. In the 1980s, he relocated to Palm Springs and purchased a 4,300-square-foot house at 317 Camino Norte. From a financial perspective, Cliff had done reasonably well, but he represented himself as much wealthier than he was. He acted as if he was worth tens of millions of dollars. Cliff lived a lavish lifestyle involving frequent travel, driving a Rolls-Royce, and spending time with celebrities. In his house, he had numerous works of art that he claimed were original, but all of them were worthless reproductions. In 1993, when Cliff was 59 years old, he started dating a 20-year-old named Travis Lee Hobbs. They were together romantically for many years until Travis moved out sometime in 2006 or 2007. On August 6, 2007, Travis drowned in a swimming pool. Cliff Lambert was lonely after Travis died. He started flying men to Palm Springs for the purposes of sexual activity. Cliff would allow the men to stay in his house. Friends of Cliff advised him this behavior was risky, but Cliff was positive nothing could possibly go wrong. One thing was for certain, in his house, there would be no crime. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. In March 2008, Cliff Lambert met a 25-year-old man online named Daniel Garcia, who went by the name Danny. On April 2 of that year, he paid to fly Danny to Palm Springs. During the visit to his house, Cliff allegedly caught Danny in his study, as if Danny was looking to steal something. When Danny flew home, he allegedly upgraded his flight to first class at Cliff's expense without authorization. Over the next few months, Cliff told friends his house was burglarized four times. He did not know who was behind these crimes. In late November 2008, Cliff received a phone call from a man claiming to be a lawyer who told him a story that could greatly affect Cliff's financial outlook. Cliff had been friends with a wealthy woman named Florine May. She owned over $200 million in artwork. When she died in 1995, Cliff thought that she would leave him some of that artwork, but she did not. The lawyer told Cliff that a new will was discovered, which revealed that Florine did actually leave him artwork. After this phone call, Cliff told his handyman, "I'm rich again, I'm rich again." He mentioned that he was meeting this lawyer at a restaurant on December 4, 2008. They were going to work out the details of Cliff getting the artwork. After the meeting, Cliff said that the lawyer was cute, and he was meeting him again on December 5. This time, they planned to meet at Cliff's house. Cliff Lambert was never seen or heard from again after this meeting. A friend of Cliff's named Eddie Mulliken stopped by his house on December 6 after Cliff failed to attend a parade in town as planned. Eddie had a key to Cliff's house, so he entered and looked around. He noticed a coffee table that contained several items, including cheese and crackers, alcohol, and a pack of cigarettes. Eddie assumed that Cliff had a date over to his house and left. On the next day, Eddie returned to Cliff's house and noticed that the coffee table had been cleaned. He went to the police and reported Cliff as missing. Investigators stopped by the house on December 12. They saw that the mail had accumulated in Cliff's mailbox, his Christmas lights were on, and his Mercedes was missing. Not long after this, friends of Cliff received emails from Cliff's email account claiming that he had gone on a little trip for the holidays. Christmas came and went, but Cliff never returned home. On January 7, 2009, the police received a report about a U-Haul truck outside Cliff's house. Officers found a man named Miguel Bustamante in the house and placed him under arrest for burglary. In his hotel room, there were several items belonging to Cliff, including his identification. Miguel, who was a bartender from San Francisco, told the police that he had been hired by a man named Kajal Narola to take the artwork. Kajal had promised to give Cliff's Rolls-Royce to Miguel as payment. The police realized that Caudill was the man who called Cliff Lambert, representing himself as an attorney. This was the phone call about the will and the artwork, which was going to make Cliff rich again. Caudill had moved to the United States from Nepal in 2002. He referred to himself as the Dark Prince and claimed to be an actual prince of Nepal. So he was claiming to be royalty. In reality, Caudill was not a prince, and he was not a lawyer. He was a fraudster. He had conducted a $300,000 jewelry heist, orchestrated the theft of three condominiums in San Francisco, and had been accused of defrauding a Japanese woman out of over $500,000. He had been released from prison not long before Cliff's disappearance. Caudill and his attorney, David Rapoglie, were arrested in March 2009 and charged with fraud. This was for trying to sell Cliff's house. Caudill denied any involvement in Cliff's disappearance, but David had a different story. He said that he heard there was an accident which claimed Cliff's life. Miguel and Caudill were involved. Investigators had a complex task in front of them. This case was becoming convoluted. They didn't know everything at this point, but it seemed clear that Cliff had been murdered, and at least four men were involved. There was Danny, Cliff's lover who flew to Palm Springs in April 2008, Miguel, who was caught in Cliff's house and had taken his property, Caudill, the fake prince of Nepal who tried to sell Cliff's house, and Caudill's attorney David, who said that he believed Cliff was dead. In July 2009, the police interviewed a man named Craig McCarthy. As it turns out, he was also involved in the murder, bringing the total number of conspirators to five. Unlike the other men, Craig decided to cooperate with the police. Here's what he told them about the murder of Cliff Lambert. On December 2, 2008, 3 days before Cliff disappeared, Craig McCarthy took a trip to Palm Springs as part of a conspiracy. Craig and the other men were planning on kidnapping Cliff and taking him to Mexico. Once he was there, they could steal his artwork and other property. Later, this plan was changed to something more homicidal. On December 4, 2008, Caudill impersonated an attorney and met Cliff at a restaurant. While they were there, Craig and Miguel hid in Cliff's garage. The plan was to murder Cliff when he came home from the meeting with Caudill. Craig had a screwdriver, and Miguel had a hedge clipper blade. As the men waited, Craig started having second thoughts. Ultimately, he lost his nerve, so both men left the house in a murder-free state. Caudill was not happy about this failure to stab. He told the men to try again on the next night, December 5, 2008. Again, this was the night when Caudill met with Cliff at the house because Cliff thought he was cute. During the meeting, Caudill unlocked a door, which allowed Craig and Miguel to enter the kitchen. Once they were there, they grabbed knives and waited for Cliff. When Cliff walked in, Miguel stabbed him to death. The conspirators loaded his body into the trunk of his Mercedes, drove him to the desert, and buried him. In exchange for Craig's cooperation, he was allowed to plead guilty to voluntary manslaughter. He was sentenced to 25 years in prison and will be eligible for parole in July 2026. In addition to Craig's statement, there was other evidence against Miguel and Caudill. On the night of the murder, December 5, 2008, they exchanged suspicious text messages. For example, "This is the only opportunity. You are inside. Street patrol is on the corner. Stab with knife. Do it now. 98 million is too much to lose. And okay, try to stab." Due to technological limitations, determining which one of the two men sent each message was not possible. But either way, these messages didn't look too good for them. Notably absent from Craig's statement was any mention of Danny or David. Those two men were not at the scene of the murder, but they were still involved. There were several messages tying the men to the transfer of Cliff's money, which made it seem like they were part of the conspiracy. Danny admitted to taking Cliff's laptop, using his credit cards, and said that he was in Cliff's house on December 15, 2008. That was 10 days after the murder. As far as David, his thumbprint was found next to forged signatures. In January 2011, David and Miguel, who were tried together, were convicted of first-degree murder. They received life in prison. Caudill and Danny were also tried together. Before their trial, They used the services of 9 different taxpayer-funded attorneys. Ultimately, they decided to represent themselves and filed 128 pretrial motions during the course of 2 years. In December 2012, they were found guilty of first-degree murder and received life in prison. In 2020, the convictions for all 4 of the men were overturned. Danny had managed to use his computer to audio record the judge talking to his clerk. The judge suggested that Kaushal was HIV positive. Because of this, he did not want to read motions that Kaushal had sealed in envelopes by licking them. The judge admitted that he improperly denied a motion for separate trials because he knew a single trial would allow prosecutors to turn the defendants against each other. He referred to this as a prosecutor's dream. As if this wasn't bad enough as far as indicating bias, the judge also referred to the defendants as blank holes and clowns. In September 2020, as the state was preparing for the retrials of all 4 men, the remains of Cliff Lambert were identified. Some of his bones had been found 4 years earlier on a mountainside near Castaic, California. The state had now overcome a major hurdle. They could prove that Cliff was actually dead. In 2022, David was found guilty. In 2023, Danny and Miguel were found guilty. All 3 men received life in prison. Kaushal never made it to a second trial, which at first might seem like good news for him, but it wasn't. He was beaten to death by his cellmate, Rodney Sanchez, on September 6, 2022. Rodney was later convicted and sentenced to 75 years in prison. He never supplied the motive for the murder, but he did offer an opinion about Kaushal, saying, "He was a very intelligent individual, but he lacked common sense." Now moving to my analysis. There is not much doubt regarding the guilt of the 5 killers in this case. Craig confessed to the murder, and there was plenty of evidence against Danny, Miguel, Kaushal, and David. The only mystery in this case is about motive. This brings me to the question, what do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Cliff Lambert portrayed himself as a larger-than-life character who had a life full of luxury. He told everyone who would listen that he had been a big-time art dealer. He knew all kinds of celebrities, and he had more money than he knew what to do with. The look he maintained may have been inspired by Ricardo Montalban playing Mr. Rourke on Fantasy Island. There were probably a few reasons that Cliff was deceptive. For instance, he was arrogant, grandiose, and falsely believed himself to be special. Another reason could have been a desire to impress potential lovers. Cliff wanted to have sex with men, and being rich was helpful in this endeavor. It made him more attractive. He knew that one of the easiest ways to obtain love was to find much younger men who were willing to be with him if they could share his luxurious lifestyle. Unfortunately for Cliff, his deception was very successful. Pretending to be wealthy can sometimes attract greedy individuals. Cliff's behavior caught the attention of Danny Garcia, who immediately tried to take advantage of him. Danny invited his friend Kaushal into the scheme. Later, the 2 men recruited the other 3 killers, David, Miguel, and Craig. The men thought they found the score of a lifetime in Cliff, a lonely and gullible man who acted like he was worth tens of millions of dollars. The conspirators murdered Cliff and took all his money, about $230,000. They tried to obtain additional funds by selling his property. Throughout their scheme, the killers had a lot of fun pretending to be sophisticated master criminals, operating in a world of intrigue, luxury, and elegance. They saw themselves as Ocean's 11. In reality, they were closer to Ocean's 7-Eleven. These conspirators simply stabbed a man to death in his kitchen and took his money. There was nothing revolutionary about their plan. After the conspirators were arrested, Kaushal and Danny adopted colorful approaches to escape justice. They tried to tie up the courts with myriad pretrial motions and other shenanigans. Their con artist skills were on full display. In jail, Kaushal even claimed to be transgender, probably hoping to get moved to a safer cell block. This was yet another plan from the self-appointed prince that did not work as expected. Those are my thoughts in the case of Cliff Lambert. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.